We used to have multiple filing cabinets in the house, and now we're able to not have so many because so much of our stuff is online. And I'm glad that we have that, but I can never remember my passwords for things. Do you guys have problems with that? I mean, okay. Passwords are hard to remember. You can't order fast food anymore without a password. I just want a burger. I don't remember what I thought last time I was hungry. You know, it's hard to remember. And so I had a couple of favorite passwords that many years ago, I got this one that I really liked and I thought it was probably a really good one, so I used it for everything. Are you supposed to do that?
No.
No, you're not supposed to do that. So here, a couple weeks ago, I was sitting there looking at my phone with John and I said, well, I can't remember the password to this thing, but I'm looking in my little passwords app and there's 100 and some messages here telling me that I need to review my passwords because I have so many repetitive ones. And he said, you really ought to change those. And I said, you know what? I don't recognize any of these apps anymore either. That's something about wasting time, and we might talk about that again. But I can't remember all of these, and you know, you think you kind of understand what it is you're supposed to have in a password, and so I create some sometimes, and then it says, no. You're so many letters and number and symbol isn't enough. You got to have at least this many characters in this one. And oh no, that one sounds too similar to one that you had somewhere else. So you got to have this. And so, oh my goodness. Then I'm going on and on and on trying to remember what to put there. And so then we have to protect our passwords, right? You get a password so that you can get into some, and then you got to figure out how to keep those so that you don't have to remember them all since they're all different than each other. So there's a couple of different ways that we protect our passwords. There are those folks, more trusting, who will place a key under a rock right by their door so that people can get in the house, right? These are the folks that probably protect their password by writing it on a sticky note, putting it under the keyboard. Yeah, it's like having the key under the rock, right? Or I am the one who has a little notebook that no one's to know where my notebook is, but it has all my passwords in it. My dad had his own system for keeping passwords. He wrote them on a box, and it was like figuring out a Rubik's Cube, which side went with which thing. So it was really probably pretty safe because it's really a puzzle to figure out how to put in his passwords. And then there are those of us who don't even try. And instead, every time we log in, we hit forgot password. Yes, there's more people that do that than I thought. That one probably got the biggest huzz at all three churches. We just go, I forgot my password, can you let me do it again? We go through all this trouble with our secret little codes to protect things that we value. These protections guard our accounts, our money, our memories, our shopping lists, our photographs, our identity. But a password is only effective if you can remember it to use it. Otherwise, it's rather useless. In a way, in our scripture lesson today, Paul gives Timothy a bit of a password. He gives him a key about guarding things that really matter. Paul says to Timothy, protect the treasure entrusted to you. And that treasure, it wasn't a digital file. It wasn't something buried. It was the living gospel of Jesus Christ. So if I ask you, what does it mean to protect something? What do you think of immediately when I ask you, how do you protect something? What do you do that for? Why do you protect it?
Because it's special.
What's that? So people don't steal things?
Value.
Things are valuable. So you want to keep them what? Safe. We want to keep things safe or healthy. And so sometimes in order to protect something, if you have something valuable in your home, you go on vacation, don't you like to hide it so nobody can find it if they break into your house? And we all get real creative with the ways that we hide things, which makes me think of buried treasure. And all of these movies that I've watched all these years of people who buried treasure. And the movie that kept coming to my mind this week was Goonies. You guys remember the movie Goonies? Okay, good. Like everybody at all three churches, majority of people knew who the Goonies were. The Goonies were a group of kids who their whole neighborhood was about to be sold. And so I don't remember why they set out on this journey, but they went down a well. There was no Lassie to come and tell anybody that Timmy was in the well. All these kids go down in the well, and under the city they find a treasure. like a pirate ship full of treasure. And somewhere in the movie, the main character finds old One-Eye Willie, the pirate who hid the treasure in the first place, and it's just his bones sitting there in the middle of all his treasure, and he said, well, this treasure didn't do One-Eye Willie a lot of good, did it? Do you ever notice that about these treasure tales? The similar thing in them all is that they have all these valuable things, but they have them hidden away in such a way they never saw the light of day again. And they never really did any good for the person who locked them away to protect them. So maybe protection isn't always and completely about locking things up. When Paul speaks to Timothy in his letter telling him to protect the treasure, and we know the treasure is the message of Christ, he was tasked with something different than locking things away. What it meant for him, it still means for us today. So let's think about what it is to protect things, why we protect things, and what it is we protect. So think about valuable things. Somebody said valuable a while ago. Valuable things. If I were to ask you, what are your top three most valuable things that you can think of in life, what would they be? Not a rhetorical question. What's the most three valuable things that you can think of? Nobody knows.
Family.
Family. Thank you very much. I mean, Joanne already knows all the answers because she's already heard this. Yeah, that's okay. You can prompt us, Joanne. I know them too because John probably knows them by now too.
Our homes.
A home, health, family. Well, on my list, I have family, and I have that with love, because family is not always a bond of blood, right? And family can be, like you said earlier, our church family, our community. So that one. How about our relationship with God? We think that one might be kind of valuable? I hope so. And my third one, nobody has guessed it yet. I bet Joanne could guess the third one. Time. Wouldn't time be a valuable commodity? What is it that makes these things valuable? For one, our relationship with God includes our relationship, includes our prayer time, our worship time, our scripture reading. These are the things we do to fan the flames of our relationship and keep that alive. For it is this treasure, our relationship with God is the treasure that gives us our entire being. We wouldn't exist if it were not for God's relationship with us. Protecting our relationship with God should be very important. Which brings us right directly into the next one, because God created us to love. And so protecting the things and the people that we love, that is an important thing. We protect the people that we love by helping, by celebrating with them, by having conversation with them, by showing them patience when nobody else would because they don't love them like we do. Patience, support, forgiveness, grace, and not always just extending our own grace, but sometimes loving someone and protecting them is helping them see the grace that someone else has extended to them so they can have peace in a situation. So all of these things that we do to protect our love ties is we spend a little of that third one that we call time. Now, time might have seemed a little bit like an odd thing to call treasure, but do we ever have enough of it? Even in any given day, is there enough time? How about a lifetime? We go, we have a celebration of someone's life, and it doesn't matter how long that life was. It was always a day too short one. It is never enough. And yet, how much thought do we give to how we spend such a valuable commodity as time? How much thought do we give to the moments that we waste or that we wish away? Protecting our time means being intentional with it, choosing to do things that matter and not letting our time be stolen or wasted by things that will not last. Now, I have a bad habit of thinking that I'm wasting time when I'm doing various jobs around the house. For instance, when I figure out a sermon, like I sit down on Tuesday and I read through all the scriptures and I figure out what we're going to talk about, and then I start trying to think of themes, because by Wednesday people will be saying, so Pastor, how should we decorate the sanctuary? What's our theme for this week? So I got to process all these things, And then I sit down and I think, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start writing the sermon. And I get about 3 words in and go, you know, I should vacuum. And then I get up and I go vacuum. But it's while I'm doing those physical things, and since I have all of this other stuff in my mind, that I actually start processing all of that other information. And so I'm able to write more as I'm moving than I am if I'm sitting just staring at the computer screen. And I always thought to myself I was wasting time. And I figured out it's not a waste of time if we allow ourselves to process the scripture. So this week, as I was cleaning, vacuuming, and thinking about the worship service today, I was thinking about the songs that we were going to sing and all the different ones, flipping through hymnals and trying to find songs for the various church services. And I've noticed a theme that sort of repeats itself a lot in our songbooks. So I'm going to sing a line and ask you guys to remember the next line, and then you can see if you can find the connection here. Some glad morning,
when this life is over,
I'll fly away. Okay. In the sweet
by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Okay. When we all
get together,
what a day of rejoicing that will be. Okay. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend.
It is well.
Even so,
it is well.
With my soul. So we sing these dreams of our heart. What was the common thread?
Heaven.
It's heaven. It's heaven. Future. It's what's to come, right? We spend so much of our worship time thinking about what's going to come. And I've wondered to myself, how many of our hymns talk about the joy of now? We have a tendency to think about, we can't wait to meet Jesus. It's like when my kids were young, and they would say, my birthday's in 3 months, and I'm going to be this age. And they get so excited about their birthday, and I can't wait. And I'd say, but don't wish away the 3 months. Because this time is important too, and you can get so excited about this thing you're waiting for, you forget to love this moment. And so as I was thinking about our songs and all of this future hope, and we need that, especially when we're going through hard times, we need that hope. We do need to know that eternity is for us and that the kingdom of God is for us and we can find joy in that. But don't let that future joy rob you of this life. Because it's pretty amazing, too. It has so much beauty. Even the hard things have beauty in them. And so I want to invite us to not wish away this valuable time by wishing so hard for what is yet to come. Protecting our treasure isn't about locking it away. It isn't about wishing it away or hiding it. Protecting it is about honoring and appreciating what we have. It's about recognizing the gift that God gave us, that it is valuable, that it is amazing, that it is worth enjoying right now. I'm not waiting for the treasure to come. I'm holding on to the treasure that I have. Love, faith, and time. Protection is also not about holding too tightly. For what good is love if we don't share it? What good is time if there aren't others to spend it with? And what good is the gospel if it's not spread far and wide? The treasure that Paul was lifting in his letter to Timothy was the gospel of Jesus Christ, something that had been handed down through the generations to Timothy. And earlier in this paragraph, it even talked about the very people who handed that faith on to Timothy. And he was saying, you know, I have faith in you because I know how you've been raised to appreciate the gift of the message of Jesus Christ. And that's not something we lock away. We don't want to lock away. What if the only Bible, the only scripture that was ever existed was locked away? We never had the gift of the word. Don't lock away your relationship with God. Share it with others. Now, Paul wanted to make sure that the word wasn't misrepresented or told incorrectly or taken for granted or forgotten about completely. Timothy was meant to keep the story alive and pass it on in the now. Our hymns give us great hope for the future. But I want us to protect what we have and fan the flames of our faith today. Passwords protect things we value, but they only work if we remember them. And faith is the same way. It is not a secret code to keep to ourselves. It's a treasure to be lived and spoken and shared. So my challenge for you this week is to ask yourself, how am I protecting the treasure that God has planted in my life? How am I protecting my relationship with God? How am I protecting my relationship with others? And how am I spending my valuable time? Are we all able to recognize the gifts that these things are and intentionally cultivate the bonds, keeping them strong? Ask yourself if you're spending time with people who need you, or if you're just waiting for what's yet to come. Don't let time slip away. It is finite. It is valuable. So please, friends, spend it wisely with the people that you love. Now, Paul told Timothy and still tells us not to bury the treasure or lock it up and forget it. Protect your faith. Fan the flame. Because the treasure of Christ isn't for someday. It is for now.